As you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction. Thank you for your commands. You know what you're talking about. You know what it means to hear praise and worship and joy and rejoicing. But you also know how it affects people and how it affects you when we grumble and complain and murmur. And I pray that we might be people who are different, who obey your word and do what you've instructed us to do. And therein there's joy, and it makes a difference with those that are watching our lives. Father, work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The main point of our text today is, do all things without grumbling or arguing. Right from the text, do all things without grumbling or arguing. We live in a culture that loves to complain. I was looking at a Peanuts cartoon this last week. For several frames, Lucy is complaining about everything. Charlie Brown finally says to her, "Lucy, you are always complaining." So Lucy in the last frame says, "Well, it's the only thing that I'm really good at." And I'm afraid really that that could kind of be something that maybe is a problem for you and I. That the only thing we're good at sometimes is complaining. In fact, this week it was rather funny. As I was preparing for this, it seemed like some things kind of went wrong or didn't go according to the way I liked them. And I told Judy, I said, "Man, I can't even complain about it because of my message." And yesterday, as the weather came and I'm out there shoveling and I've come in there and I said, "I got to go lay down for a while." I said, I just can't complain though. And so that became the joke for all last evening as we were facing taking care of Jason and things around the house when things kind of went a little awry. We looked at each other and said, "We can't complain, though." And I think that's really a good thing for us to think about, because when we stop and think and analyze what we are saying and what kind of conversations take place in our home, we will find out that a lot of what we say is complaining and murmuring and griping and grumbling. We grumble about everything: the weather, the size of our home, our jobs, our class schedule, our friends, the pastor's sermon, many other things that we complain about. Other drivers, lines, neighbors, and you could fill in the blanks. We are a people who love to complain from the time we wake up until the time we lay down at night. And so we have to catch ourselves and say, stop. Stop doing it. Stop complaining. And that really is the command before us. The Apostle Paul is instructing us, do all things without complaining or grumbling. Complaining is really a killjoy. It makes you unhappy and everyone around you unhappy. The problem is that we are in the habit of doing it. Some may say, "Well, I don't complain, I just state the facts." Well, the reality is, any way you look at it, it's complaining or grumbling if we don't like what is happening in our lives and we just complain. Grumble, gripe, bellyache, whine, complain, carp, protest, moan, nitpick. You can find any other word, but really call it like it is, complaining and disobeying this command. The thing that makes this hard is the first three words. Do all things without complaining. I mean, wouldn't it be easier to just do a few things or, you know, just kind of every once in a while don't complain? No, but it's do all things without complaining. It's the opposite of what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. In fact, jot that down in your notes. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you may be asking this morning as a new believer or maybe an older believer, what is God's will for my life? Here's a verse that says it very clearly. Do not complain, but rather be thankful in all circumstances. That is God's will for our life. And we'll see why the emphasis in just a few moments. But I believe the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, is thinking about the nation of Israel. If we were to look at this morning Exodus 15, 16, and 17, and look at the nation of Israel as they came out, they were delivered in one of the most incredible deliverances of all time. Remember from Egypt and how God wonderfully delivered them and through the Red Sea and provided for all their needs? They were only out into the wilderness a few days, and what were they doing? Grumbling. In fact, it uses that very word, and I think that's why Paul then takes and uses this word, this grumbling, because that was so characteristic of the nation of Israel. Numbers chapter 16, we also read how the people grumbled and God dealt very severely with them. Numbers chapter 11 as well, the people were complaining and God sent fire down from heaven. So I think we kind of see how God feels about this matter of complaining and grumbling. It's not a good thing. In fact, I think we can call it what it is. It is sin when we grumble and complain. Turn in your Bibles, just hold your place here and look back at 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul is writing this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And there we read some interesting words as well about this matter of complaining. And so Paul writes, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers, our forefathers, those the Israelites, were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, referring to the parting of the Red Sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They experienced the goodness of God and the leading and providing for their needs. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. The rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. The people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. And it's talking here in the context of sexual immorality. Verse 8, we must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell or were killed in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. Notice verse 10, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. We see God's intent is for us to be a people who are thankful. And we will stand out in a world that of complainers when we are thankful. So I'd like to give you three reasons here why we should be thankful or why we should not grumble, okay? So three reasons why we should not grumble. And the first one is found in verses 12 and 13 and also in verse 15. Why we should not grumble? Obedience to not grumble demonstrates that I am a child of God. I mean, it's that simple. I can show that I am a child of God by not letting the pattern of my life be that of grumbling and complaining. In verses 1 through 10, 1 through 11, Paul has been talking about self-sacrifice and the wonderful example of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he gave his life. He left heaven's glory, came down, became a servant to the point of the death and death on the cross. And he did that for us. He died in our place. And then it talks about this matter that we are to have the mind of Christ in us. We are to have humility of heart and mind. And then he goes on in the verses 12 and 13, and he uses an interesting phrase. He says, I want you to work out your salvation. Now, maybe when that was read, or you've read that before, and you say, I don't understand that. I thought we were supposed to, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Well, notice it doesn't say work for your salvation. It says work out your salvation. Work out what God has done in your heart. It's very clear in his other writings that it's not talking about work for your salvation, but work it out. And it's interesting that he says work it out, and here is one of the main ways that you can, in this context, that you can tell that you're working out your salvation, and it's this matter of being thankful or not grumbling. Complaining or murmuring or grumbling, we're going to use all three words kind of synonymously, is at the root a failure to accept God's plan and God's provision in your life. When we complain, we are basically saying, God, I don't like what you're doing. I don't want what you're doing. And so we generally then go our own way. Complaining is a selfish mindset that declares, I'm not getting what I want. And when I want it, God, you're not being good to me. I don't like this. I don't like this circumstance. I don't like this suffering. I don't like the timing of your plan. And so I'm going to complain about it. And that's why the Lord was down on that so much with the Israelites, because they were not accepting his leading in his provision. I came across a quote. It says, the grumbler is like a leaky faucet. The grumbler's little drips of negativity can erode morale and cause serious damage. Interesting to think about. But God for sure does not like it at all. So, obedience demonstrates that I am a child of God. We could say much more about that. But just remember that. That I'm reflecting the God that I serve in what I say and in what I do. May my speech be reflective of a relationship and my respect for God. Second, not only does it demonstrate that I'm a child of God or a follower of Christ, obedience to this command of not grumbling is a powerful witness to a messed up world. A powerful witness to a messed up world. We see terms referring, the world is referred to in this context as crooked, as the idea of bent out of shape, out of alignment, deviating from a standard. So in other words, corrupt. Our world is corrupt. You look at the newspaper any day and you see the corruptness of mankind. You see our world is really messed up. It's crooked. And it's also twisted. A stronger term that's talking about severely distorted or perverted. Again, we see that on every hand. And also we see by reference to the fact that we are to shine, it's a dark world. It's a morally bankrupt world that we live in. So we see a twisted, distorted, dark world. That's the world that we live in. We see this all around. It's twisted to the point that all things that are supposed to be called wrong are now called right. And yet, we live in this world, this messed up world. And God wants us to be a powerful testimony and shine forth. In fact, that's the next reference. He wants us to shine as lights in the world. Our testimony in this crooked, twisted, dark world is, notice in verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent and without blemish, children of God. So all these terms, they're basically referring to this matter of purity, that in the midst of this perverted world, we're to be different. We're to be in our character, we're to be different. In our speech, we're to be different. And one of the ways that we can show that difference is through not complaining. If you are a complainer, a grumbler, a griper, a bellyacher, if you are a disputer with God, if you're a grumbler, and if you're always discontent, do you think someone's going to come up to you and say, "Tell me more about your God"? I mean, I see your speech, and I love what you're saying. Tell me more. I love it when you blow your fuse over the littlest things. Tell me more about your Savior. Do you think that's the case? I don't think so. And so one of the ways that we can be a light in the midst of darkness is to be careful about our speech and not be a complainer. Matthew 5:16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Ephesians 5:8 says this, "You were formerly darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of light." You cannot come in contact with other people in this crooked and perverse generation without impacting them by the way that you talk. Let's begin with being thankful. I came across a quote, and I love it. It says this, "It's hard to be shining when you're whining." Kind of simple, but very good. It's hard to be shining when you're whining. Mark Twain also has said this, "Few things are harder to put up with than the annoyance of a good example." Very well stated. I mean, some people may look at your life, and maybe you're not a complainer, and you're thankful, and you have a great testimony in your workplace. Boy, it can be an annoyance to them, but it's a wonderful, shining, bright testimony. May God help us to not be complainers. So, first of all, we demonstrate we're children of God by not griping and complaining. It's a powerful testimony to a messed up world when we're not complaining. And third, obedience to this command, not complaining, will be worth it when we see Christ. Will be worth it. Verse 16, Paul writes, "Holding fast," or holding out the word of life. He's talking about the word of God. "We hold it out so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." And again, it's in the context of being careful of our speech. It'll be worth any inconvenience, any sacrifice that we may give. It is the least that we should do for our Savior. Be thankful. I'm so glad that it's in the context of a man who is writing this. And where is Paul writing this from, class? From prison. If anyone had the right to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, can you imagine? He was chained in some cases to one or two guards. Can you imagine if he spent all of his time saying, "You know what? I shouldn't be here. I should be out there preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. This is not fair. I don't like this. How about if you go talk to your boss about this?" What kind of a testimony would that have been? Instead, he used it as an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Look back at Philippians chapter 1. And again, we're almost done. All right, we're rounding it up here. But look back in chapter 1 and verse 12. "I want you to know, brothers," the Apostle Paul writes, "that what has happened to me, being imprisoned, has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of my imprisonment, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So guards were hearing about the gospel. People were becoming more bold to speak forth for Jesus Christ. Now turn to the end of the book, Philippians, and verse 21. He's giving this letter of greeting to the church at Philippi. And notice who is with him in this greeting. "Greet every saint in Jesus Christ. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." I believe through the Apostle Paul's testimony, through his life, through his conduct, through his speech, God enabled him to lead some of these soldiers for Christ. And now he's writing a letter to the church at Philippi and saying, "You know what? I've got some people in Caesar's household that are giving their greeting as well. Isn't that amazing? And one of the ways that God can use us to have that kind of an impact in people's lives is through our speech, being thankful and not complainers. This week I challenge you, when you catch yourself complaining, maybe your wife will help you, maybe your husband will help you, maybe your kids will remind you, hey, that's complaining. Hey, whatever it takes, put the sign up there, put that verse up on your mirror, whatever it takes. May God use us to show forth that we are children of God and we ought to act differently and live differently and speak differently. And it's a powerful witness, and it'll all be worth it all. No matter what sacrifice you may make for the cause of Christ, it'll be worth it all when we stand before our Lord and we've said, I did the best I could for you. We're going to fail at times. We're not always going to be doing the right, but the motivation of our heart is important. And may God use our impact to make a difference this Thanksgiving. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder in your word. We often get out of kilter and we start taking on the characteristics of the world around us. We start acting in ways that are crooked and perverse and dark. Oh God, help us to be a bright light in the midst of the darkness. You have called us to be in the world, but not of the world. And may we be faithful in our testimony, showing forth the glories of our God because of all you've done. Thank you, in Christ's name. Amen.